And welcome to What's Going On. I'm your guest host, Paul DiRienzo, back again this week to talk about the student uprising in support of the Palestinian people in Gaza and the West Bank. And we have a chock-full of information program here, and we'll be getting to it in a moment. I just wanted to give you some brief headlines as far as the student movement that is developing across the United States and around the world. Over 120 universities last time I checked, and it's only been going up. I'm sure my interpretation is conservative, believe it or not, and it's much more than 120 universities. An officer whose gun went off inside of Columbia University building this week fired it accidentally as the police were removing pro-Palestinian protesters from the campus. That's a report by the New York Police Department on Thursday. According to the NYPD, no one was injured during the shooting on Tuesday, and the bullet ended up in the frame of a wall a few feet away. The NYPD said in a statement, the police will hold a news conference about the episode at 11:30 this morning. You can be sure WBAI will be there. The officer was not identified, was approaching a barricade on the first floor of Hamilton Hall, really Hind Hall. It has been renamed after the young six-year-old Palestinian girl who was killed along with her family while trying to escape the bombing in Gaza. We call it Hind Hall. The first floor of Hind Hall, when he fired his gun, the officer fired his gun, which had a flashlight on it. The shooting was captured on the officer's body camera, which makes one think, I'm editorializing here, if we would have heard of it today if it had not been photographed, which was handed over to Manhattan District Attorney's Office. Earlier, the police offered few details about the episode besides confirming that a weapon had been fired on Tuesday. When dozens of officers cleared the Columbia campus of protesters, peaceful, nonviolent protesters, totally peaceful, nonviolent protesters, at an encampment inside Hind Hall, which the demonstrators had occupied. It was the second time in 2 weeks that Columbia officials asked the police to enter the Manhattan campus to remove protesters. You have to understand, ordering the police onto a campus to remove student protesters, even the Secretary General, Antonio Guterres, Secretary General of the United Nations, last week, said that was a bad idea, and he opposed it. So at the highest level of the world court, which the world body, which has its own world court, which is investigating Israel for genocide charges, it consistently vetoed by the United States. In fact, police went on campus. More than 2,000 people have been arrested in protests on campuses across the country. Columbia said it had no choice but to call the police on Tuesday. Yet it sure did have a choice. Why did it have no choice? I was there. It was perfectly peaceful, and they had been deeply in negotiations, and there was no sign of anything but negotiations, people peacefully sitting outside. Same thing as City College of New York, where I visited as well, and there was no violence at all. This is a political action, obviously. But at the top of the news is the fact that an officer, you see, when you put it in context of the mayor of New York and the NYPD saying outside agitators, which isn't true. Yes, the vast majority of people arrested have been students on the campuses where they were arrested, but accusing them of violence, and yet these protests are totally nonviolent in their own words, in the words of Mayor Adams himself. He said it was a victory for police because it was a nonviolent action. Maybe it was a victory for the protesters who were nonviolent. But there was gunfire, which I have to say I've never heard of except at Kent State, which, guess what today is? May 3rd. Tomorrow is May 4th. May 4th, 2024, is the anniversary to the day of the murder of four students by the National Guard in Kent State University, Kent State, Ohio. It's a sacred day for protesters all over the world. And in fact, it is people are participating in a program about it later today here on WBAI, on Randy Credico's show. And you'll be hearing more from Laurel Krauss, whose sister Allison Krauss was murdered at Kent State on that day, May 4th, 1970. So very interesting, gunfire, right? 54 years to the day almost, at a college protest, Columbia University. This time, it wasn't the Ohio National Guard. It was the New York City Police Department. Very interesting. Now, what else is going on? Many other things are going on here. Okay, so let's go across the pond, across the nation to the other pond, to the Pacific. Here is an interesting article I was looking at from the Stop LAPD Spying Coalition's Youth Working Group. Right? The LAPD, Los Angeles Police Department, is famed for its political spying, well known. Student protesters at the University of Southern California, not a place usually known for its campus activism, have thrown the school into crisis. Administrators canceled the commencement speech of their Muslim pro-Palestinian valedictorian after a pressure campaign from the Zionists threatening the speaker. The university then called LAPD onto campus and brutally arrested 93 students protesting Israel's genocide in Gaza. And now, administrators have abruptly canceled the university's 65,000 attendee main stage commencement event, and other commencement speakers have launched a boycott. The key administrators who made these decisions are facing calls from their own faculty to resign. Among them who are being called to resign is Errol Suthers. It's always, when you take deal with the LAPD, it always boils down to a person with a name. Among them is Errol Suthers, S-O-U-T-H-E-R-S, the university's Associate Senior Vice President of Safety and Risk Assurance, who oversees USC's campus police in collaboration with the LAPD. The LA Times noted that not only was Suthers involved in the decision to silence the valedictorian speaker, whose name is Asna Tabassum, but that the university has referred questions about security to Suthers. Who is Errol Suthers? You don't have a lot of time for this. I'll be brief. A longtime police official, Errol Suthers is a prominent figure within L.A. politics, right? And Suthers and, let's see, he's the president of LAPD's Board of Police Commissioners, the civilian and, in quotes, oversight body that rubber stamps LAPD's every expenditure. And LAPD's police commission purports to offer a forum for public conversation and input. However, at a police commission community meeting at Bishop Alemany High School just after Tabassum's speech was canceled, Suthers and his police commission colleagues shut down every public comment about Tabassum as off-topic and forcibly ejected three public commentators, all of them black men, from the meeting. Interesting. And you can watch it. There's a video of it here. We don't have time to play it, but there it is. So, some idea of what we'll be talking about today. I'm going a little longer at the beginning, but I wanted to. Now, we're going to go to the Pacifica News. We're going to hear our theme, which I love, what's going on. And then we're going to go straight to a song that I think is appropriate to these events of the last few days. Take it away, Michael G.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Mother, there's too many of you to cry. Brother, there's far too many of you die. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see.
Welcome to 2024 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
The Senate is essential to democracy
But dissent must never lead to disorder or to denying the rights of others so students can finish the semester and their college education.
President Joe Biden says Americans have the right to protest, but not the right to cause chaos. In a televised address, Biden condemned the campus unrest over Gaza, but rejected Republican demands to send in the National Guard. He said the growing student protests haven't changed his posture toward the Israel-Hamas war. School administrators who've called in police to dismantle student encampments are facing faculty backlash. At UCLA, they're reportedly considering a work stoppage. Columbia University professor Rashid Khalid says his colleagues have called for a vote of no confidence in the school's president.
This is the conscience of a nation speaking through your kids, through young people who are risking their futures, who are risking suspension, expulsion, criminal arrest in order to wake people up in this country.
More than 2,000 people have been arrested on college campuses in the past 2 weeks. Former President Donald Trump is refusing to commit to accepting the results of the 2024 election. He tells the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel he'd accept a loss in Wisconsin, but only, as he puts it, if everything's honest. The Biden campaign said Trump's comments again confirm that he's a threat to democracy. Montana is the latest state to let parents pay private school tuition with public money, but advocates for students with disabilities are suing to stop that. Riley Summers Flanagan with Helena-based Upper Seven Law says to get the money, students must first renounce their right to a free quality education under the state constitution.
It appears just to be a gambit to try to privatize public money and to send it to vendors who have no accountability and no responsibility to genuinely meet the needs of kids with disabilities.
Meanwhile, Nebraska lawmakers have voted to circumvent a ballot measure aimed at repealing a school voucher program. Democratic State Senator Carol Blood calls it an act of cowardice to deny the will of the voters.
When we refuse to hear the voices of the 117,000 people who said, yes, we want to vote on this issue, who are we to decide that we know better than them?
Alabama lawmakers will let President Biden be on the November ballot. Last month, the Secretary of State warned Democrats their national convention, when Biden would be formally nominated, would miss the state's certification deadline. Democratic State Senator Marika Coleman praised the bipartisan fix.
If one of the nominees is not on the Alabama ballot, then that's a whole lot of people in the state of Alabama that are disenfranchised.
The Biden campaign faces the same issue in Ohio, where lawmakers have less than a week to make the adjustment. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Battle of New Orleans at the end of the early British wars. The young land started growing, the young blood started flowing, but I ain't a marching anymore. For I killed my share of engines in 1,000 different fights. I was there at the little big horn. I heard many men lying, I saw many more a dying, but I ain't a marching anymore. It's always the old to lead us to the wars, always the young to fall. Now look at all we've won with a saber and a gun. Tell me, is it worth it all? For I stole California from the Mexican land, fought in the bloody Civil War. Yes, I even killed my brothers and so many others, but I ain't a marching anymore. For I marched to the battles of the German trench in a war that was bound to end all wars. Oh, I must have killed a million men and now they want me back again, but I ain't a marching anymore. It's always the old to lead us to the wars, always the young to fall. Now look at all we've won with a saber and the gun. Tell me, is it worth it? For I flew the final mission in the Japanese skies, set off the mighty mushroom roar. When I saw the cities burning, I knew that I was learning that I ain't a marching anymore. Now the labor leaders screaming, in when they close the missile plant. United Fruit screams at the Cuban shore. Call it peace or call it treason, call it love or call it reason, but I ain't marching anymore.
We'll be right back with Paul DiVienzo in just a moment as a special guest, so please do stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I assume the music has died or is over. What a wonderful song, Phil Oakes. Very appropriate to our times. We have a special guest joining us on the line. Sort of came together in the last minute, so I'm throwing some stuff out the window and going straight to our guest, Medea Benjamin, host here on WBAI, but co-founder of Code Pink as well. Welcome to What's Going On, Medea Benjamin.
Hey, Paul. Nice to be on with you.
Great. Yeah, so we're on live for once. And so there's so much. You dominated Twitter over the last few days. And in the light of the student rebellions that have been happening, I wanted to go back to your manhandling at a committee hearing earlier this week and why you were down there in Congress and what if you felt that the members of Congress were listening to you. What was your message and were they listening to you?
Well, we are in Congress every single day, and for the past 7 months, we've been there Monday through Friday. Is Congress listening to us? No, not at all. I mean, there have been some shifts when we see that there are 57 members of Congress that voted against sending another $17 billion to Israel, but that's certainly not enough. And we should not have been sending any more money to Israel. So we're slowly making progress, and we visit their offices every single day. But, you know, there are countervailing forces, whether it's AIPAC money or their perception of Israel as a continuing to be a democratic country or whatever it is. It's been very hard to pierce through that veil in Congress and get them to take the right position. What you're talking about is a particular hearing in which Secretary of Defense Austin was speaking. And I didn't intend to speak up, but at one point got up and said, you know, how can we talk about leadership in the world, which he was talking about, when we are supporting a genocide? And for that, I was hauled out and arrested. And went viral the way I was treated out in the hall. But as I said, while they were doing a very invasive and ridiculous search of me as if I were some kind of terrorist about to throw a grenade rather than speaking up against a genocide, As I said during that time, what the people in Gaza are going through is so much worse that an invasive search is really nothing compared to that.
That's true, but it is shocking to see such a thing happening in the halls of Congress. I mean, basically, they didn't even take you to a private location.
Well, right, and then they did it again when they got me to the jail. So it is ridiculous. It is humiliating. It is over the top and is ridiculous. You know, they take your possessions, and on top of that, they have to go over and over every single part of your body in a public space. It's wrong to do, and it did shock a lot of people. But I think more shocking is the fact that we have a Secretary of Defense who denies there's a genocide going on, who greenlights the sending of 2,000-pound bombs to be dropped in residential neighborhoods. And the majority of the people who were in that hearing, the Congress people, both Democrat and Republican, are just fine with continuing to, excuse me.
Go ahead. And you're listening to WBAI New York. Medea Benjamin's our guest. I'm Paul DiRienzo. The program is What's Going On, and we're talking about Medea's experiences in Congress and her feelings about how the government is approaching the genocide in Gaza. And you're there firsthand watching it.
Well, yes, and I was saying that both the Democrats and Republicans continue to vote on measures that will send more weapons. They just voted yesterday on a bill that, excuse me, don't know what's on a bill that would make it illegal to be criticizing the state of Israel. They are going further and further down this rabbit hole of supporting the state of Israel while the whole world is watching and saying, why is the U.S. not just complicit, really in a partnership with Israel? And so we, and I say we very broadly because we invite people to join us every single day, and there are people who jump on a bus or a train from New York and come down to Washington just to walk into these offices with us every day. Every day there's a new group of people going and coming up on in celebration of Mother's Day next week on Thursday and Friday. We're having hopefully hundreds of people that are coming, many of them from New York, to say this is not the kind of world that mothers and grandmothers and daughters want to live in, nor do we want to leave for our children.
Now, before you got on, I was reading some information and some articles that have come out, some information that's come out in just the last few hours. I think right at the top of the list is that the New York City Police Department is holding a press conference at 11:30 this morning to discuss the fact that we just learned now a police officer's gun discharged while they were in Hind Hall, used to be called Hamilton Hall, Hind Hall after the Palestinian girl, 6 years old, who was murdered, killed, trying to escape with her family, trying to escape the bombing in Gaza. When the police went in, not only was there nonviolence, total nonviolence from the students who were there, who complied and were taken out without incident, yet a police officer's gun discharged, and that information was so serious that it's been reported to the district attorney in Manhattan's office for investigation. And they need a press conference of the full staff there this morning to discuss a gun. So the mayor had been accusing us of violence, the protesters of violence, and in fact, the only gunshot was from a police officer. It was, fortunately, nobody was hurt, and the bullet lodged in a wall a few feet away. But I found it totally ironic that tomorrow, May 4th, is the 54th anniversary of the murder of four students at Kent State University.
Well, I was.
You see the irony
that,
in that?
Paul, and it's not irony, you know, it's really the tragedy of that and how we are a bullet away from somebody being shot, from one of the protesters being shot. And with all the violence that the police are using on campuses throughout this country, It is extremely possible that we might be in a Kent State situation again. And that's why it is so important to be speaking out and denouncing this kind of violent behavior on the part of the police and breaking up peaceful encampments. And the way so much of the media, especially on Fox News, is portraying these encampments as the violent ones is really just distorting the reality and trying to justify in people's minds the crackdown and the use of riot gear in destroying what are extremely peaceful, open places for dialogue, beautiful spaces. I've been going to the one at George Washington University here in Washington, D.C. almost every day. And I go there after being in Congress all day and feeling disgusted by what I see and hear. And then going to the encampments where you feel uplifted by the students who are learning from each other, who are open and welcoming to Jews and Muslims and different faiths. And it's just a beautiful sight to behold. And luckily here in Washington, D.C., so far the police have refused to crack down, unlike what we've seen throughout the rest of the country.
Right. And there is a patchwork where some of these colleges have actually worked together with the encampments and have helped the students, while others have, like Columbia University. And being in Congress, a lot of this seemed to have really started when the House Education Committee was questioning first the two leaders of Harvard and University of Pennsylvania, who were forced to resign, and then Manoush Shafiq of Columbia, who was grilled, and then literally hours after, as she was being grilled, the first crackdown began at Columbia University as she groveled to these right-wing politicians. And I'm not overstepping that there. I'm not exaggerating it. I mean, they had a congressman who was quoting from the Bible to her and saying, "Do you?" and demanding to know if you are going to be, or you want to be cursed by God at your university, and she was groveling to that.
Right. She
Did you
said,
see
no,
that kind of thing
of course
in Congress?
I don't. Yeah, and I'm glad that you're making that connection, Paul. I think it's really important to make, because there have been so many hearings where they are focusing on the issue of anti-Semitism and bringing not only the heads of college universities, but also bringing in students. And there has not been one on on Islamophobia, anti-Arab sentiment, on the effects of this crackdown on students who are anti-genocide. And this coming week, there will be two hearings. One, the mayor of D.C. is being hauled before Congress. And as I just said, they have refused so far to crack down here in D.C., and these right-wing politicians want to know why. And then they are bringing in representatives from high schools as well, where they have been trying to teach a more balanced approach to what is happening in the Middle East, and they're getting hauled before Congress. So it's very important, as you just did, Paul, to make that connection between the racism and the anti-Palestinian sentiment here in Washington, D.C., and how that is emanating around the country and leading to the crackdowns that we are seeing on peaceful protests.
They seem like they were almost, I don't think it would be an exaggeration to say, I think that Elise Stefanik, who is a right-wing Republican who sort of began this whole thing and has been taking accolades from her supporters for forcing the resignation of a black woman who was the first black woman president of Harvard University, and then went on to make a career out of her success, and connecting that with the groveling people like at Columbia University and also these attacks happening. It makes me wonder, you know, is Donald Trump, I saw Giuliani just the other day, it almost like he was chortling about it. It was exactly what he wanted to have happen. But then we have President Biden and Rudy Giuliani almost on the same page, which is fascinating. Would you like to stay
a
few minutes to take some calls?
So let's I was just going to say, let's not focus this solely on the Republicans. You have in your own Richie Torres from New York, who is introducing legislation that would force universities to have an imposed monitor from the Department of Education who would go in to monitor anti-Semitism in the campuses. And this is something they're trying to vote on next week. And if you didn't allow those monitors in, you would get no federal funding.
Oh, my God. So they're going to monitor for the government, snitches. Very interesting that, and I want to, if you want to stay and take some calls with us, I'd really be interested in that.
Sure.
And I think our listeners would, too. Just a second, before you came on, I was also reading another report from a group in Los Angeles that watches the police, the Stop LAPD Spline Coalition, and they were talking about an Errol Suthers, who is a prominent political figure there, who is has co-authored papers where he classifies signs of Muslimness and identification with Palestinians as potential characteristics of homegrown violent extremism.
Oh,
and he is an expert in terrorism and Israeli counterterrorism strategies and formed his own International Institute for Counterterrorism. And he says, in his own words, an American who embraces a Muslim identity ideology within the United States is a homegrown violent extremist, and so too is an American who embraces an ideology positing racial superiority and advocating violence, saying basically that protesters for Palestinians and Gaza are no different than white supremacists and fascists and Nazis. And he is and doing research on the radicalization of students and protesters. And you know who I saw her to echo that was our mayor, Rudy Giuliani. I'm channeling. Our mayor, Eric Adams, was saying exactly the same words at a press conference just a few days ago, almost the exact same words, that the reason the police need to go in there is to prevent the universities from creating radicalized students. Imagine if they said that during the early Vietnam War protests. We're going to go to a song. Our call-in number, 212-209-2877. Join us. Our guest, Medea Benjamin. And we're going to go to a brief interlude, Bob Dylan's Masters of War.
I'm your masters of war. You that build the big guns, you that build the death planes, you that build all the bombs, you that hide behind walls, you that hide behind discs. I just don't want you to know I can see through your masks. You that never done nothing but build to destroy. You play with my world like it's your little toy. You put a gun in my hand and you hide from my eyes. And you turn and run farther when the fast bullets fly. Like Judas of old, you lie and deceive. A world war can be won. You want me to believe, but I see through your eyes. And I see through your brain, like I see through the water that runs down my drain. You fasten all the triggers for the others to fire. And then you sit back and watch when the death count gets higher. You hide in your mansion while the young people's blood flows out of their bodies and is buried in the mud. He's thrown the worst fear that can ever be hurled. Fear to bring children into the world. For threatening my baby, unborn and unnamed. You ain't worth the blood that runs in your veins. How much do I know? But to talk out of turn, you must say that I'm young. You must say I'm unlearned. But there's the one thing I know. I'm younger than you. Even Jesus would never forgive what you do. Let me ask you one question. Is your money that good? Will it buy you forgiveness? Do you think that it could? I think you will find, when your death takes its toll, all the money you made will never buy back your soul. And I hope that you die, and your death will come soon. I follow your casket by the pale afternoon, and I watch while you're lowered down to your deathbed. And I stand over your grave till I'm sure that you're dead.
Bob Dylan with his classic, redone so many times, so many artists, masters of war. And this is WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City. It is 7:37. Our guest, by the way, it's a beautiful day out. It looks a little, it's going to be a little cooler than yesterday, I'm told, and a little cloudier, but it still has that springness to it, the spring to the air. So spring out of bed and spring out into the streets and have a wonderful day, everybody there in New York. Our guest, Medea Benjamin, joining us. We're here to take your calls, 212-209-2877. The topic, the issue, the report that came out just this morning that the New York City Police Department admits a police officer accidentally fired a gun inside Hind, used to be called Hamilton Hall, at the campus of Columbia University earlier this week. Just days, tomorrow is the day, actually, the 54th anniversary of the murder of four students at Kent State. You are on the radio. Address your comments or questions to listeners of WBAI, the greatest radio station in the world.
Yes, it is. This is Ethel from the Bronx.
Hi, Ethel from the Bronx.
Listening. Yes, and good morning to you and Ms. Benjamin. This is prophetic. It's history repeating itself. And it seems as if there's a script that's going around, like, for example, when mayors meet, you know, they have those big conferences, or whoever government officials meet, they have a script that they use. And everything that one does, it happens here. If it happens in New York, it happens in California and vice versa and so forth. So this is a plan. And it's as if you're back in World War II, before World War II. It's all a script. They're just continuously.
You have a question for our guest. Would you have a question for our guest?
What can we do in terms of these hearings? Can we contact these legislators? That's what I'd like to know.
Medea, what do you think?
Well, yes, of course you can. And, you know, there are differences. There are members of Congress who have been calling for a ceasefire from the very beginning. There are members of Congress who have been voting against sending more money to provide weapons to Israel. There are university officials who have been saying, let's not crack down on peaceful protests. And there are local mayors who have been going to the protests and talking to the students. So it's not that there is one script. There are people that we can appeal to and we must appeal to. And so if you just even look in New York at the differences between some of your representatives, it's a wide difference between somebody like, let's say, Nydia Velasquez and Richie Torres. We've got to be the ones that they listen to because our voices are becoming so loud. And I know we've been talking about the crackdown on student protests today, but I also just want to recognize the tremendous education that's going on the campuses right now. And these young activists who will hopefully for decades to come be activists and will change the script, will become the mayors, will become the congresspeople, will become the leaders. So let's not get too down on what is happening and recognize that this kind of turmoil can lead to something better.
I agree.
Very good. Thank you, caller.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate your time. We have the next call. Let's move on. Next call, you're on the radio. Where are you calling? What's your first name? Where are you calling
good
from?
Good morning. It's Mayat in the Cove. Greetings to the beloved community, such as we are. Medea, I appreciate your work, and I want to ask you about your focus and understanding and thoughts about not recognizing what the main problem is. And I want to reference and ask you and suggest to the BAI community that she should be brought on air. It's Jacqueline Badalora. She was born in Edinburgh, Scotland. She moved to Antwerp, Belgium, and then she wound up with her family in middle and high school in Victoria, Texas, and where she, and she's presently a lawyer and a professor of sociology and criminal justice at St. Xavier University, and a former Chicago police officer, and has been involved in anti-racist training since the mid-1990s. But her book is only 180 pages, and it's called Birth of a White Nation, The Invention of White People and Its Relevance Today. Certainly the Khazars, who from the three main religions converted to Judaism.
I'm very appreciative of this, but we're limited in time.
Let me get to the question. The question is, are you familiar with her work and the idea that whiteness, as the European Jews identify as such, and it's entwined so much into society, even our beloved BAI has given us a pig and a poke in terms
of the
ingrainment
of
whiteness. Thank you.
Let me pass it. Let's pass the baton to Medea to finish. Thank you very much, Maya. Go ahead, Medea. Do you have a comment on this idea of the white nation? Does it matter? You know, you have Eric Adams or Lloyd Austin who happens to be African American, or a Trump or a Biden who happens to be white. Has it mattered?
Well, what matters is that we are a racist nation born on genocide and slavery, and of course, that is a legacy that we have not been able to overcome, and I think it's reflective in our foreign policy. I was, just to make it personal, when I was assaulted at the White House Correspondents' Dinner for holding a little sign that said 100 members of the press have been killed in Gaza, I was violently assaulted, whereas a woman standing next to me with a sign saying, stand with Ukraine and Ukrainian flag, was allowed to stand there peacefully. It's a reflection of what issues are allowed to be lifted up in this country. And when it's supporting white people, that is okay. But when it's supporting nations of color, people of color, or people of color in this country, we will get the brunt of the violence of our society.
Right. Do you see the same thing? I mean, I don't want to veer too far into foreign policy or the big picture, but I've had it mentioned to me, it almost seems on one hand you see England, the United States, and Israel. On the other hand, you see Iran, Russia, and China. You have this idea that the world is dividing between the North and the South in a very unhealthy way in the recent weeks and months and years.
I think the world is totally dividing. In some ways, it's positive to have a more multipolar world than the U.S. as this sole superpower. But in another way, these divisions are also extremely dangerous. And when you say, you know, the U.S., Israel, the U.K., let's put Germany in there as well, because the way that Germany has reacted to what's going on in Israel is to crack down terribly on any kind of dissent within Germany. So, yes, there is a division that can be seen as positive. And in fact, when you see the president of Colombia, for example, saying we're breaking ties with Israel, that's a positive example of the global South becoming independent in its foreign policy, as we've seen at the United Nations when their vote's taken. But it also does mean that there is more and more division rather than cooperation between nations.
Right. All right, Madea Benjamin, thank you. Let's go to the next call. We have another call lined up. People are lining up to ask you questions. You're on the radio.
Russell.
Name and location.
White Plains. Madea, I have a question for you. The Israeli Day Parade is coming in almost just about 4 weeks. This Nuremberg-style rally, it's held on the streets of New York. They're marching through the streets. Should we attend? Because violent provocations are the way these demonstrations, our demonstrations, are being discredited. And, you know, 60-year-olds were viewed as outside agitators. They're trying to neutralize us. What should we do about this Israeli Day Nuremberg parade? Thank you.
Well, that's a question I would leave to the organizations like Jewish Voice for Peace, and If Not Now. I think it is, if those organizations feel that it's best to stay away, maybe staying away is the best thing to do. If they would put out a call and saying we have to go totally nonviolently, absolutely peacefully, and people want to follow that. But I would say follow the lead of the organizations, particularly the Jewish ones, who have been so good at organizing during these past 7 months.
And Madea, let me take that a step further. We've saw at UCLA, and in fact, before we hooked up with you to get you on the air, I was going to do a whole thing where we play clips from UCLA, but I would rather have a live person to take calls. So I will verbally say what I was going to present in the course of tapes. Peaceful protesters, hundreds of peaceful protesters in an encampment supporting Gaza on the campus of the University of California at Los Angeles were assaulted by an armed, and they were armed with brick bats, clubs, poles, pepper spray, bear spray, extremely powerful version of pepper spray used to attack for hikers in bear country, was used on peaceful protesters and demonstrators, while the police sat and did nothing. Campus security did nothing for 3 hours just a few days ago. What is that? That's an escalation, isn't it? Would you say that's an escalation?
Absolutely. It is totally appalling. It's totally unacceptable. We should be demanding that the mayor of Los Angeles, Karen Bass, speak out forcefully against what's going on and side with the peaceful protesters. I think what happened in L.A. is just disgraceful. And if we allow that to stand, then we will see more L.A.s going on throughout the country.
So, and maybe that might be a reason not to go half-cocked, they say, into a potentially dangerous situation. I would not advise small groups or individual protesters, unorganized and not part of a larger contingent, to in any way protest a group that might contain some folks of that mindset, although I don't expect that to be in New York at the Israel Day of Parade, as right-wing as some of the folks marching might be. I am not a huge supporter of Hamas. I'm not a supporter of Hamas at all. I was horrified, as was everybody, by the kidnapping and murder of civilians. We don't support that and think it's a good idea. And I surely our greatest allies in this have been so many Jewish people who have participated in this. And I've never met a white group of people that didn't have a right-wing extremist end to it. And I never judge that people by that white-wing extremist side to things. It's always there. It's in every group. You know, I don't care if you're Italian, German, American, whatever it is, you'll find them there. So that said, next caller. We just are running out of time. A few more calls, one or two more calls. Where are you calling from? What's your name?
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Medea. Thank you very much for the discussion. Pastor Michael Vincent Crea, C-R-E-A, One World Life Systems, and I'm up in Central Harlem. First, I want to just make one note. Farouk Abdul-Mukti's anniversary of April 26th, I didn't hear or see anything, and all of us still have the access to the air. Hopefully for more time to come. But Farouk was taken out of his apartment as he was coordinator with Arafat and others in Jenin, and held for 718 days, 250 in solitary, and died 100 days after being released. And it was illegal. And you can look at the Farouk Abdul-Mukti v. Whoever was the Homeland Security, I forget at this moment.
Right.
He needs to be mentioned. Well, here's the thing. We have to know how a system doesn't work, okay? First of all, Medea, with one name, do you know who's in the head of the Israeli government right now? One name.
Netanyahu.
Exactly not, and this is why. This was said very early on. Anytime, this is in the Israeli Constitution, anytime Israel is engaged in any kind of military exercise, and this includes the West Bank right now, the
we
military...
We have to wrap it up, Cora. I'm sorry.
Listen, you don't know the system.
Yeah, finish it. No, finish it up.
Tyranny of the clock. Biden's hands are tied. Because Netanyahu is playing both sides. You can look it up. Now, here's the question.
Okay, good. Thank you very much, caller. We have to jump. We're just running out of time. I'm sorry. Do we have, we can squeeze in one more call, quick. If there's one more call, your name, where are you calling from? You're on the radio. Caller? Do we have one more call? Can we squeeze in one more call, Michael?
That's it, Paul.
That's it. All right. Thank you very much, Michael G. Haskins, for helping us. Medea Benjamin, thank you for helping us guide this ship of state through the waters of New York's radio airwaves. Appreciated your responding and me calling you at last night about 1 a.m. to join us, and you calling me back at 7, and we were able to set this up even as the show was going right on the air. When is your show on WBAI?
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. What is our show?
Yeah, yeah. When does it run? Code
Pink
it
show. Runs on Thursdays at 11 a.m., and it's the Code Pink radio show. And we're proud
Code
to
Pink
be
radio show. Very good.
Pacifica stations. And thank you so much, Paul, for having me on. It was a pleasure being with you, and I look forward to the next time.
Right. Very good, Medea Benjamin, for joining us. I'm Paul DiRienzo. You're listening to What's Going On, special programming on the uprisings on the campuses across America and the resistance to America's role in supporting Israel in this horrific genocide against the people of Gaza. I'm Paul DiRienzo. You can learn more about me at my website, pauldirienzo.com, pauldirienzo.wordpress.com. Look me up. You can listen to my programs and the news every weekday evening at about 5 minutes to 6 p.m. every evening, and Monday through Friday, or just go to my SoundCloud, soundcloud.com SoundCloud.com. Search for Paul DiRienzo, D-E-R-I-E-N-Z-O. Again, thanks for joining us. Thank you again, Michael G. Haskins, and have a great day. See you on the radio.
Until the philosophy which hold one race superior and another inferior is finally and permanently discredited and abandoned. Everywhere is war. It's a war that until they're no longer first class and second class citizens of any nation, until the color of a man's skin is of no more significance than the color of his eyes. Miss a war that until the basic human rights are equally guaranteed to all without regard to race. And it's a war that until that day the dream of lasting peace, world citizenship, rule of international morality will remain in but a fleeting illusion to be pursued but never attained. Now everywhere is war, war, and until the ignoble and unhappy regime that hold our brothers in Angola, in Mozambique, South Africa, subhuman bondage, have been toppled, totally destroyed. Well, everywhere is war.
WBAI New York.